The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Welcome to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and for the next 4 hours, I'm your host and your guide as together we cross the time-space continuum to this place that I call the X Zone. It's a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. It's a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. And the X Zone comes to you Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern, right here, live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates throughout Canada, the United States, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the Pacific Rim, 20 Asian countries, and Europe and the rest of the world on TalkStarRadio.com streaming audio. On tonight's show, joining me in a few moments will be Margaret Ucolano. We're going to be talking about children in foster homes. Richard Salva is with us in hour number two, Bruce Goldwell in hour number three, and Susan Titus in hour number four. Now, if you'd like to give us a call any time during the night to talk to our guests, voice your opinion, tell us what's on your mind, our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free at 1-877-528-8255. My email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com. And our two websites, www.xzonetv.com, and that is where you can watch and listen to the show live from our studios here in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And our main website is www.xzoneradio.com. This is Tuesday, January the 22nd. My producer tonight at Master Control is my good friend, Superman. And Superman, always super working with you, buddy. I hope that you had a good day. My first guest tonight is Margaret Ucolano. We're going to be talking about the secret light of foster children. Successful entrepreneur and former foster child, Margaret is going to reveal what growing up in the system is really like. And we're going to be talking about her book, My God Box. Margaret has owned two companies and served as the president and CEO of a multi-million dollar Microsoft consulting company. But now she's reached a stage in life where she wants to devote her attention to children's advocacy. Her experience growing up in foster care motivated her to become an outspoken child's right advocate and activist. As a child, Margaret was habitually beaten by her alcoholic stepfather. Her mother would lock herself in a bedroom, mired in depression and a refusal to deal with the dysfunctional and abusive family dynamics. Labeled an incorrigible child, Margaret was placed in foster care where she witnessed horrible abuses of children. After shuttling through various foster homes, a mental health facility, and juvenile hall or juvie hall, Margaret lived on the streets of California for a brief time. She says discovering God helped her lift her from the abyss of unhappiness and despair, and she vowed that once she was an adult, she would make it her mission to bring attention to the plight of children who were suffering in the shattered foster care system. Margaret decided to write a book chronicling the traumas of her childhood spent in foster care. She fervently hopes that her message will not only implore people to get involved and help, but will also inspire anyone who's faced with seemingly insurmountable struggles that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. When we come back from this two-minute commercial break, I will be speaking to Margaret about her plight. It's a plight that I'm sure that was not very happy, and we'll see what she's done in order to try and help these children who are faced with these insurmountable odds each and every day of their life. Margaret Ucalano is our special guest, and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break as we continue live and around the world for this Tuesday, January the 22nd in the year 2008 on the Talkstar Radio Network from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Once again, 1-877-528-8255 is toll free. And I'd like to say hi to the TV crew from space that were here at our studios this afternoon. Great bunch of people. We're going to be on space this weekend. And as soon as I find out what the times are, I'll send them to you, the X Zone Nation. I'll be back. Don't go away. To the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. On tomorrow night's show, we have Dr. Randy Wymore joining us. We're going to be talking about the CDC's decision to finally do something with the Morgellons case that we've been talking about for the last 2 years. So that's tomorrow night, Dr. Randy Wymore here on the X-Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network. My guest this hour is Margaret Ucalano, and we're going to be talking about child abuse. We're going to be talking about foster children. And child abuse, it happens in neighborhoods just like yours and mine. When authorities suspect abuse, children are plucked from their homes with little more than the clothes on their back, then carted off to foster homes to live with complete strangers. And unfortunately, not all foster parents are in it to help kids. For some, fostering is simply a way to make money, make a living, add to their existing living. The more kids they take in, the more money they get. So what's life really like on the inside for foster kids? Margaret Ucalano, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and welcome to the X-Zone. Do we have Margaret there, Superman? Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I am, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for joining us tonight. And I was just wondering if you could tell us what it is like on the inside for foster kids.
Well, you know, there's over 700,000 children in foster care in the U.S. this year alone. So it's, you know, each child is definitely got their own set of challenges. Mm-hmm. But I would say the general consensus with most of them is they feel like second-class citizens. They, you know, have a very, very difficult time coming from the family that they know and be thrown into a family full of strangers. So it's usually not an easy adjustment, and it takes time. And usually, unfortunately, right as you start to feel a little bit comfortable with that family, you usually get transferred to another one. So, you know, for many children, you can experience 10 or 15 different foster homes throughout your childhood before you turn of age to be able to live on your own.
10 or 15 foster homes. The poor child has no security.
More than that too, but
there's no security for these children. There's no safety for these children.
Well, you know, I call it an epidemic. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you have a business that's lacking of funds, such as our social system for child care, addressing foster care specifically, it's just lack of funding, and I believe that each state does the best that they can do with the situation that they have on hand. But It's kind of an epidemic, and they just don't have enough funds, and they don't have enough foster families, quality foster families, to take in all the children needing homes.
Now, how long do the children stay in foster homes? Until what age?
Till they're 18 years of age. Mm-hmm. In some instances, you know, the court systems will always try to work with the original parents, resolving the situation to allow them to return home. When that does not happen, then they try to find them a permanent foster home until they turn 18 years of age. And then, you know, they're kind of released on the street on their 18th birthday, and they're an adult now, and they need to learn how to fend for themselves.
Why are they moved so much? Why can't they just stay at one home?
Well, that would be a permanent foster home, and there's many different types of foster parents. My experience is I was a child that was in continuous temporary foster homes while the government looked for a permanency, and they just never found one for me by the time I became of age. So I believe that that is probably the main issue, is that they just don't have enough parents wanting to take children on permanently.
Tell me, what was it like in a foster home? Share some of your experiences with us.
Well, for me, and I know I always, you know, like to say I know there are good foster mm-hmm. parents out there. I just did not experience any of them. So I hate to make them sound like all foster parents are bad, but, you know, the quality of the homes that I was in mostly were poverty-struck environments. They didn't even have enough money to take care of themselves, much less the foster kids that they had. Most of the homes I was in had 5 to 6 or 7 other foster children in the home with me. And, you know, my biggest memory is mostly just poverty. You didn't get a new pair of shoes. You didn't get school clothes. You didn't get school supplies or any of the other typical things that you would expect a child growing up would have.
If these families were so poor, how could the state give care and control of a child to these kind of people?
I don't believe, even to this day, and I keep pretty on top of it, mm-hmm. of course it differs a little, you know, state by state, financial is not a qualification to becoming a foster parent.
Well, wait a minute. If the people cannot afford to take care of themselves, how in the name of heaven are they going to take care of a child who needs that extra bit of loving care at a very, you know, at a very vulnerable time in their lives?
Well, I had this discussion earlier today, and I believe that, you know, we are in such desperate need for foster families at this stage. We've got so many kids that have no place to go that they just take, you know, what they can and load them up.
That's a crime.
With as many as they can. You know, the families do receive, I would say, small monetary. Each state is different, but, you know, $700 to $1,000 or $1,100 a month per child.
All right, now hold on
it
here.
It can differ by a couple hundred dollars, but, you know, that's really not enough money, and it doesn't go back to the child living in the house. So
wait a sec here. If you've got somebody who has 7 children, they're pulling in $7,000 a month.
Right.
And they can't take care of these children the right way? Something is desperately wrong with the system. Doesn't anybody monitor what happens to the money that should be going to the foster children?
Well, it's one of the main issues that I have with the foster care system is there's not enough checks and balances in place. Mm-hmm. It's not a privatized system, and it is ran, you know, by the government, and they do the best that they can do, you know, with the state funds and the things that they have. But there's definitely not enough checks and balances in place on what goes on with the home, how the money's spent, or even how the child's treated once placement.
You know, we're talking $84,000 a year here.
Right.
You know, and the mathematics says, well, there you should have no problem taking care of these children.
Right.
And, you know, if the state can't do the job right, find an outside agency that can.
Like, exactly.
We're talking about children here.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's just an ever-growing epidemic. The numbers mm-hmm. are astounding, the children in foster care each year. It's growing. The biggest concern, you know, not really the biggest concern, so I'll take that back. But, you know, not only is the foster care system a major issue, you know, when these kids turn 18 years of age, they're put on the street. And most of them, 48 to 50%, depending on what statistics you're reading, become homeless. So, it's creating a major epidemic, you know, once while they're in foster care as well as when they're coming out of foster care. it's definitely waiting on the financial systems within the state.
What we should do when it comes to a foster child is the same thing that happens in a separation or divorce of parents. The parents should assume financial responsibility for the child.
Right.
The money should come directly off of the parent's salary. It should go directly to the state or the province if it's in Canada. And this way here, the parents would have to take responsibility. What responsibility do they have at this point? Oh, my kid's in a foster home. Tally-ho, geez, it didn't work too bad.
Right.
That sucks.
Well, in my situation, and, my parents did pay. They had a fee that they had to pay the state when I was put into foster care. But the other thing to keep in mind is, most of the kids coming out of the homes or being taken from the home for severe abuse, in a lot of the instances, the parents are drug addicts. They're in and out of jail. They have alcohol addictions, and honestly, they're on welfare, and they don't have the funds to pay to the state.
So here we've got kids who have one hell of a bum rap to start life with.
Right.
They're taken away from their parents because their parents shouldn't be parents in the first place. They're put into foster homes. They're moved around 10 to 15 times. They're not taken care of. Well, I'm not talking about all foster parents here. And at the age of 18, well, there you go, 18th birthday, here's your bags. Thanks very much. It was nice knowing you. Enjoy your life.
Right, and most of the times they don't have bags. Most of the times they leave with garbage bags. Most of their belongings are usually moved in a garbage can, a black garbage bag. So they're not even lucky enough to have luggage when they leave. So.
All right, here's a question for you. Do foster parents get any training?
They do, but it's very, very limited. Each state, once again, is differs a little bit, but, you can go to a 48-hour class and become a foster parent, go through your background checks, make sure, that you don't have, that you're not a pedophile or any criminal activity against you, and become a foster parent within 30 to 45 days, depending on the state. But the training is limited. And like I said, and once you're placed in foster care, the monitoring is even more limited.
All right. Is abuse a common problem in foster care?
In my experiences, yes. I had abusive situations. There are still abusive situations. And, depending on who you're talking to, we all have different levels of what we would consider abuse. I see abuse in foster families today, many different levels of abuse. The only good news that there is today is that abuse is not as tolerated, not that it, was ever
tolerated. Wait a sec, hold on here. You said abuse?
I was going through the system.
Just a second here.
So you can't be removed from that home for abuse.
Just a second here. Just a second here. You said abuse is not as tolerated.
Right.
You mean it is tolerated?
Well, I'm dating myself here because I was in, foster care over 20 years ago. And unfortunately for me, when I had abusive situations and reported, I would be stuck there in that home until they could find another place for me or get put into juvenile hall. And there's just not a lot of temporary or respite care type of situations to where you can remove a child immediately and have a place to take them.
Margaret, please stand by. You and I have to take a commercial break. This is. I'm glad you wrote your book and you're blowing the whistle on this. Great job. Margaret Ukulana is our special guest. Her book is available on Amazon.com. It's called My God Box. Margaret and I will return on the other side of this commercial break. If you'd like to give us a call and voice your opinions about foster care, should the parents be responsible? If they're getting welfare, should part of that welfare check go towards their own child? Are foster homes just another easy out for parents who really didn't want to be parents in the first place? We have to protect these children. The children of today are the leaders of tomorrow. I'll be back on the other side of this break, live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network. Don't go away.
Hold on. It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Greetings, X-Zone Nation. This is Les Pedroghi from AskAPI.org, and you're listening to my old friend, Rob McConnell, on the X-Zone Radio Show, heard exclusively around the world on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ken Elliott. When I'm floating around the universe, I always try to tune in to Rob McConnell.
Hey, hello there. Trinity Frog on Sesame Street. When I want to find out what's going on with UFOs or ghosts, I listen to the X-Zone with Rob McConnell.
This is Les Corrigan from Target Internet Development. You're listening to Rob McConnell on the X-Zone Radio Show.
This is John Hoag, Prophecy Scholar, and you're listening to Rob McConnell in the X-Zone.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and this portion of the X-Zone is being brought to you by Ken Klein Productions, bringing mysteries into the light of day. www.kenkleintv.com, K-E-N-K-L-E-I-N-TV.com, and Technon, the Science of Survival. When danger strikes, are you prepared? www.technonllc.com. Most of us can never imagine the horrors hundreds of thousands of children endure each and every year, abused, abandoned, or neglected by the people who are supposed to love them and take care of them. So what happens when law enforcement gets involved and places these children in foster care? Life gets better, right? Not necessarily. Our very special guest this hour is Linda Ucolano, and she is the author of My God Box. And Linda, Margaret, thanks very much for being with us. And I can't believe that here we are in the year 2008, and this kind of care is being given to our children. It makes no sense.
Rob, I'm sorry, but I'm having a very difficult time hearing you.
All right, I was saying that here we are in the year 2008, and I can't believe that children are being, are being basically put at risk. It's unthinkable.
Well, I found it equally discouraging for myself. I, you know, once I became an adult, I really focused my life on changing and getting a job and being able to support myself. So, when I felt I had my life together and started to get actively involved in going back into the foster care environment, I was equally as shocked. I spoke to someone earlier today and I said it just hasn't gotten any better, and it's been over 20 years. So, maybe a little longer.
All right. What are some of the biggest challenges foster children face? Is it schooling, making friends, and feeling like they don't have a family? How do children cope who are in foster homes?
Well, I think that they really struggle, and it creates some of the issues, that they have throughout their life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a temporary foster home, meaning it's not permanent,
right.
It's very difficult to go to school. You're changing schools constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do go to school, you're constantly having to try to make new friends, teachers, and then, it's very easy to get moved on again. Just going into a complete stranger's home, you really feel as though you're a second-class citizen. You're not allowed to go on family vacations. You constantly have to have, a certified or an approved babysitter around you. So you just don't have a normal life as the other children around you, and it just makes you feel somewhat of an outcast, I think. So, and I believe that's a common feeling amongst most of the foster children.
Is the foster care system broken beyond repair?
Well, I always say nothing's beyond repair. I'm a very positive person. Definitely it's a system that's lacking funds. It is broken.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be fixed, and we just don't have all the answers, and we just need, many more people, privatized individuals that are interested in, stepping in and trying to help make a difference and help us change it.
In your opinion, what is the biggest problem? Where does that biggest problem lie? What is the broken or missing link?
Well, I like to think that we need more individuals, privatization once again, to come in and build more group homes, create more safe family-type environments for these kids to live in, and try to, not depend necessarily on the state, to put all the children through all the different, the available foster families that we have at that time. We just need more of society to become more actively involved in what's going on.
What's it like in Juvie Hall?
It was not a winning type of environment for me. I had to go into Juvenile Hall because the family that I was with at the time had a parent die, and they were not allowed to take me out of the state. As you are, you can't take any of the foster children out of the state. So they had no temporary home for me, so the Juvenile Hall becomes the temporary home. And that's very still common today. And it just, you're thrown in with criminals. Hardened, even though they're teenagers, they're there for crimes, and they're not the type of people that you're used to dealing with. So it was difficult for me.
What are the statistics pertaining to a child returning to his family or her family?
Well, the court systems really strive to rectify the family situation and to get guardians involved that, they'd like 100%, of course, but I believe that the statistics are really low. This year alone, there's over 700,000 children in foster care. At the beginning of last year and at the end of that year, 500,000 were still remaining. So that means out of the 700,000, 200,000 were able to be rectified and returned to their home. And it's just not a very large percentage.
What has been the feedback on your book? Have you received any calls or emails from foster children who have applauded you for your efforts?
I haven't received from foster children. Foster Care Alumni, which is an association that has people like myself as adults, really like the book. It wasn't really written at a child level to understand, so I honestly haven't had anybody below the age of 18 read it yet.
What are you hoping to accomplish with your book?
Well, my first hope is to create awareness. My second is to be able to actively raise funds. A portion of the book proceeds are going in to help foster children in local communities. And I'm trying to create more of a national I guess, information for people on how to get involved, regardless of what city or state that you're in.
What can people do to help children in foster care?
Well, I have many, many ideas because it is an overwhelming system. And when you make a phone call to try to get involved, most people become so overwhelmed, they walk away. But there's plenty of things people can do. They can become a guardian ad litem. Of course, they can always become a foster parent. They can help, fundraise, or if they're not interested in anything that requires a lot of time, just buying an extra Christmas gift and donating it to your local foster child and family welfare department makes a huge difference for a foster child to be able to receive a Christmas present because they just don't receive one if no one donates them. And then I always tell people to hit my website and email me, and I'm happy to help them find programs in their area if they're having a difficult time with it.
What kind of psychological damage does a foster child end up with from going home to home feeling like they're just a thorn in somebody's side?
Well, that's interesting because I was just pulling some of the statistics on this today, and the post-traumatic stress disorder of these children seems to be the biggest issue. The rate is four times a Vietnam or a war vet that
wow.
A foster child is more likely to experience post-traumatic stress disorder.
My Lord.
So that really seems to, to be the big one. And then the second one would be major depressive episodes along with, social phobias, which, who can blame them?
Sure.
with the environment that they grow up in. So, they definitely have some challenges that they need to learn how to overcome.
Typically, how well do foster children do in school?
Well, I don't think that they don't do as well. Then, the general population, 82% of our kids graduate from high school and 56% of foster children graduate. So there's a big discrepancy there. Most of, 29% of foster children will go the GED route.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's definitely more challenging for them, and that's because they move their school systems, they move school systems quite often.
What can the school system do in order to help foster children adapt?
Well, I don't even go down that route because the public school system, depending, which state that you're in, some are better than others and have their own sets of challenges. And there's definitely not any extra care, going on for a foster child that comes into the public school system.
I hope you don't take this question the wrong way. What kind of parent does a foster child make?
Well, that's a good question. It goes back to your earlier question about, some of the trauma mm-hmm. or the stress, that they might have. They have a lot to overcome. And so if they don't address the issues of growing up in these types of environments before they have their own children, the cycle of abuse tends to continue on. And that's my personal belief to why our foster care system is just growing at, exponential
yeah.
amount of numbers each year. These kids need to learn how to break the cycle of abuse and overcome their challenges before they have their own children.
But aren't we just adding gas to the fire when these children turn 18, just booting them out on the street and saying, okay, ciao, here's your bag of clothes in the garbage bag, away you go. Like when somebody is released from jail or prison, there's a halfway house.
Right.
Why can't we do the same thing with foster children in order to prepare them for the cold reality of the world that they're going to be in?
Lack of funds. Those children are titled aging out foster kids. That's their, technical term. It's an epidemic in every state. Most of them go to the homeless societies to find homeless shelters to mm-hmm. live in. The states usually give them $700 to $1,000 a month for a couple of months to be able to get on their own feet. But as that's not enough money to get your own apartment and find a job and do all the things that you need to do. And we just don't have enough aging out homes.
So
there's very, very few aging out homes. That's not something that the government or the state seem to tackle. And once again, privatization, we need aging out homes. We need a place for these children to go.
We need halfway homes for these children.
Right.
I know at 18 they're not children any longer. They're adults, young adults. But they need to be taught.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like, I can't imagine the stress and trauma that they're faced with. Because as it is, they feel as if they're sociologically outcast. And yet, here they are at the age of 18, after leading a life of home to home to home to home, no stability. They are now homeless.
Right.
Lord.
And it's very, very disheartening. We, you know, I call them group homes or, you know, there's many names for them. But we definitely are in desperate need. And, every city needs one. They could be filled up. As quick as you build them.
It's a shame because there are FEMA trailers that are just going to waste. Why couldn't they find some land, put the FEMA trailers on, and use these as staging areas for these children or these young adults?
And that's a good question.
God, what are they doing in Washington?
That question I can't answer. I'm one person, and I'm hoping to get more people actively involved. And just by creating awareness is being able to get more people on the bandwagon asking these types of questions and helping us make a change, because it's desperately needed.
It is desperately needed, and unfortunately, stories like this do not usually get media attention unless there is something very drastic that the mainstream media considers newsworthy to attach this story to. But I'm glad that I'm able to have you on here tonight, and we can get our listeners around the world just an inside glimpse of what happens inside a foster home. Stand by, my dear. You and I have to take a commercial break. My guest this hour, Exo Nation, is Margaret Ucolano. She is the author of My God Box, and it's available on Amazon.com. The name of the book, once again, is My God Box. And the author is our guest this hour, Margaret Ucolano. Now, her name is spelled I-U-C-U-L-A-N-O. Margaret and I will be back on the other side of this break. And still to come on tonight's show, we are going to be speaking to, Robert Salva is on with me next. And we also have Susan Titus on. And that's just for starts. And then, of course, Bruce Goldwell. My name's Rob McConnell. This is The X Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. My email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com. I'll be back on the other side of this break as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, exclusively on Talkstar. Just imagine this, Exo Nation. You're a little tyke, let's say 5 or 6. Your mom and dad have got their problems. Society says, no, it's best if we take you out of your home and place you in another home until mom and dad can get their act together. Over the years, you're moved from one place to the next because mom and dad can't get it together. They don't have the mental capacity to get it together. So this little tyke is moved from home to home to home to home 10 to 15 times from the age of 6 to the age of 18 for 12 years. That's not even 1 year in a place. Then they turn 18, and what happens? Well, there they go. They're given their belongings, and they are sent into the cold world. When someone is released from prison, they go into a halfway house. But we don't do that with children who have led screwed up lives through no fault of their own. And this is what really upsets me, is that it seems like there is a broken system out there. Children are falling between the cracks. And children are our greatest asset. We have to take care of them. And I'm very happy to have Margaret Ucolano on the show tonight. She is the author of My God Box. And it tells the story of her stay and her experiences in foster homes. Once again, Margaret, thank you very much for joining us and for writing this book.
Thanks for having me.
How many organizations are out there where people can contact and help foster children?
Well, on a national level, there actually isn't that many. I would say, on a national level, maybe less than maybe two, three max. Most of the foster care is ran by the state and managed by Children, you know, Protective Services within that state and within that county.
Sad part is we give our animals better treatment than we do our children.
Yeah, I hate to, you know, admit that, but, you know, it's definitely a broken system, and it, you know, the children do, you know, do fall through the cracks, mm-hmm. and they're not treated very well.
So basically, the system is broken because it doesn't have enough money for bandages?
Well, the state doesn't have enough money. There's, you know, always never enough social workers. The social mm-hmm. workers complain that they have hundreds and hundreds of cases. The judges will tell you that they can't see all of the cases because they have to assign a guardian ad litem to that case before they can determine the fate of the child. And so now we don't have enough guardian ad litems, and that's, you know, an ever-growing problem all within its own. And, you know, it just keeps growing from there. So there's many, many reasons to why it's broken.
Margaret, thanks very much for joining us tonight. A pleasure. Keep in touch. Let me know what's going on, and if there's a way we can help, just let me know.
Absolutely.
Take care of yourself, dear.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now. Margaret.
Bye. Have a nice evening.
I will. Thank you for starting it off for me.
Great.
Margaret,
thank
Ucolano
you.
Is our special guest this hour, Exo Nation. She is the author of My God Box, talking about foster care, the broken system. Her book is available on Amazon.com, and proceeds from the book, part of the proceeds from the sale of the book, go to help foster homes and foster children. When we come back from the news at the top of the hour at 6.5 minutes past, Richard Salvo will be joining me. And we're going to be talking about the reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln. I'll be back on the other side of this break as the X-Zone continues live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton.